Maskati maswerese, shomarti wedu. Good afternoon. Have you spent your day? How many of you like to tell your spouse, I spent it, I spent all of it. It's gone. It's a privilege to be here with you guys today, and we're very excited to report to you what's happening in Zimbabwe, and it's all embedded in a sermon, and we want to talk about legacy today. And it's an important topic, and for those of you that are the younger set, I would have given anything to have known this stuff when I was in my 20s. But you're going to hear about it today. So let's go to the next slide. In order to really capture the whole idea around legacy, I want to tell you the story of Lena Vivian. Lena Vivian was born in 1892, in the horse and buggy days, and she was one of seven children born to Charles Winton and Cora Alice Burnworth. And there were seven children, and she had a very interesting childhood because Charles Winton was a dreamer and a rainbow chaser. He had all these crazy schemes. And he couldn't hold a job to save his life, so they would move to a town, pay 1 month's rent, stay the second month, and then move out in the middle of the night before they were evicted. And so you can imagine the disruption to education when you're in a different town every 2 months. So that was a little rough on the family. One of Charles Winton's crazy ideas was that he needed to move to Oklahoma and marry an Indian squaw because they had oil wells, and then they would be rich. And so at one point in time, he just disappeared. And Cora Alice was left to raise the seven children, and most of them were very small at the time. And so Lena Vivian had to drop out of school in the third grade and go work in the onion fields to try and help support the family so they could eat and survive somehow. And that's backbreaking work. I don't know if any of you ever grow onions, but they only grow about this tall. And so it's on your hands and knees and bending over. It's very, very hard work. So what Lena's childhood turned into was a lot of hard work trying to help support this family. And Charles Winton came home 7 years later. And Cora Alice took him back, tried to make things as normal as possible, tried to pretend that things just pick up where we left off kind of a thing. What nobody knew is that Charles Winton had syphilis. And this was back in the days when there was no treatment for syphilis, and so Cora Alice picked it up. It settled in her brain. She spent the last 5 years of her life in the Logansport Hospital for the Insane in Logansport, Indiana. And when Lena Vivian's siblings got with her, even when they were in their 60s and 70s, all they could talk about was how much they hated their father and how much he had destroyed their lives and destroyed the lives of their mother, the one stabilizing force in the family. So it was a lot of baggage with his childhood. Let's go to the next slide. Go back. Back one. Can we go back? Okay. Well, Lena Vivian married George Alfred in 1910, and that union produced eight children, seven boys and a girl. And when the girl, Elizabeth Regina, was born, she was stillborn or died immediately after birth. And the only thing the family ever knew about her birth was that George Alfred kicked the doctor all the way down the stairs. And so something went wrong. Because she was the only daughter, she was a fifth child. Because she was the only daughter, George Alfred knew that Lena Vivian would just pine after this lost daughter. After all these boys, she finally had a daughter and then lost her. And so George Alfred went and buried Elizabeth Regina on the farm somewhere, never told a soul in his life where she was buried, and took that secret to his grave. And, you know, nobody will ever know where George Alfred buried that baby. Well, a few years down the road, there was a son, Mark, who ended up with a very rare form of cancer from a bruise on his ankle. He was 12 years old when he was diagnosed. And over the course of 6 years, he had 12 major operations, six amputations on that leg, and they never really ever got the cancer. And so it went into his abdomen, and he died as an 18-year-old. Of course, was a morphine addict trying to, you know, control pain, and it just went through Lena Vivian. It destroyed her. And so a very, very tough time. Shortly after that, The son of promise, the brightest one of the bunch, Mike, Alfred, graduated from Indiana University, valedictorian of his class, got the dream job with an insurance company in Boston, Massachusetts, and moved there with his wife and his young daughter, Lydian. Lydian was 18 months at the time. And World War II happened, and so he went off to war. Mike Alfred was blown to pieces by tank fire in Florence, Italy. His remains were not brought back for 3 years. And it took the wind out of Lena Vivian one more time. It destroyed her. And had such a profound effect on her. But that was not the end of the tragedy. Robert, at the age of 55, Robert had heart trouble all of his life. Even as a little boy, he had heart trouble. But he had a massive heart attack and died at 55. So Lena Vivian buried 4 of her 8 children in her lifetime. Had a profoundly negative effect on her. Very, very difficult time for her. Now she, Lena Vivian, unfortunately, played favorites. She had one grandchild of the 19 that was her favorite. And she loved on this child. She loved this child unconditionally. She did everything in the world to mentor this grandchild, to pour into him. Lena Vivian was a self-taught horticulturist. And she had a master's level of understanding of horticulture. And she passed that love on to this grandchild. And it was just a tremendous relationship. They really clicked together. Each one saw the other's time as just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And I have to tell you that I am that grandchild. And the reason I'm a landscape architect and have a horticulture degree from Purdue University is because of Lena Vivian. Now, this picture you're looking at was taken in 1957, okay? And that baby is me. Now, my wife swears I still make that face. I don't think so. I really don't think so. But we laughed and laughed about that. But you can see they were very aged when I was born. My grandmother was 65 and my grandfather was 73 when I was born. So my time with them was not much and very precious. But you talk to the other 18 grandchildren, they don't have the memories of Lena Vivian that I have. They remember her as being a deeply wounded woman, very conflicted, generally a fairly crabby old lady, okay? That's not how I remember her. I remember her always smiling, always pouring into me, always affirming me. It was exactly what I needed in a very profound way because of the abuse I was growing up with. And so she was just an amazing mentor to me. And every child alive needs a Lena Vivian in their life. And so we want to talk about legacy today. Her legacy was very complex. Yours doesn't have to be. So we want to talk about legacy today. Let's go to the next slide. So what is God's plan for legacy? What is the biblical model for legacy? What does God expect us to leave behind? Let's go to the next slide. Got a little asthma today. Hang on just one second. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down, and when you're getting up again. So what's the time frame? All the time. We're always to be pumping into the younger generation. Next slide. We will not hide these truths from our children, but we'll tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We'll tell of his power and his mighty miracles that he did. Psalm 78:4. Let's go to the next slide. Great is the Lord, he's most worthy of praise. His greatness is beyond discovery. Let each generation tell its children of his mighty acts. And so that, you can see, this is a pretty steady message over and over again. But let's stop and think about what this is really talking about. What does a child gain with this kind of, you know, generational transfer of faith? Kids grow up with this rock-solid foundation under them when they know that God is with them. Jesus found a way to bring him home forever. The Holy Spirit is inside them. There's all kinds of affirmation and strength that's built into these kids when we transfer our faith. And if you look at most families, there's at least three generations alive at any one time. That means there should be two generations telling the youngest one how great God is, all the things that he's done in their lifetimes, all the great moments in the family that came about because God was faithful. Makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, let's go to the next slide. I'd love to have no greater joy than to hear that my children live in the truth. 3 John 1:4. And I love this verse because I immediately think of my son Ian. Ian is our only surviving child. Our oldest son was killed in a freak accident about 3 years into our ministry. And so Ian is the only one left. And he is a delight because his faith is gigantic. I grew up in a godless family with a lot of abuse. I was the first generation to come back to the Lord. Ian is the second generation, and he is light years ahead of where I have been as far as his faith, the strength of his faith, the ministry he's doing is tremendous. His kids are amazing already, even though they're only 9, 7, 5, and 2. Micaiah, the 9-year-old, I think God's calling me to be a missionary to German people, and so he asked for German flashcards for Christmas, But his grandkid generation are going to be astounding, even better than Ian and Heidi. But my great-grandchildren will be the kind of people to be senators, judges, and people who can run a country. And that's what happens when we transfer this faith. And we cannot let it go. We cannot let it slide. We have to push ahead. But the delight in seeing what Ian has become has just been one of the greatest joys of my life. And he's an awesome kid. He's, 32 now? That means we're getting old. Okay, next slide. What will be your legacy? How are you going to be remembered? And when I ask this question, I watch everybody's smile goes down to, oh, no. What is it going to be? It's worth thinking about, and especially if you're young. You do everything right from here on out, you're going to have a legacy that will be off the charts. And don't underestimate that. Don't think that, oh, this is a message for old people. Not at all. But how are you going to be remembered? Well, let's go on to the next slide. Part of your legacy is what is happening at Eden Ministries in Doma, Zimbabwe. And it's very much a part of your legacy. I want you to be excited about what's happening because the impact you're having there is huge. Next slide. Our evangelism team is going out to extremely remote communities all over the place. And we live on a plateau that's farmed, but it's virgin wilderness on three sides. And these farms were huge. They were between 2,500 and 14,000 acres. And so some of the farms you can get way, way, way back off the edge. You can't drive there. You can only drive partway and then walk the rest of the way, hike back. But we're finding groups of families from 300 to 500 families in these communities way on the back end. And these people are animists. They worship their ancestors. They spend all day, every day in absolute terror worrying about what these dead relatives are going to do to them from the grave. And it's a terrible kind of fear to live with all the time, thinking, I'm never measuring up. It's always going to be a problem. They're going to destroy us from the grave. And you've got all kinds of people putting curses on each other and just all kinds of terrible things going on, occultic things, a lot of witchcraft. And what we're finding is they're tired of it. It's an exhausting way to live. And so what we're seeing is that people are open to the gospel in a way they haven't been. One of the tragedies in Zimbabwe is that our economy is crashing again. We're in the worst drought in 69 years. Widespread famine setting in right about now. It's going to get a whole lot worse. We have a lot of people. The number of children that are referred to our agency, to our ministry, has tripled now that food is running out. And that will escalate as this thing unfolds. So it's a difficult, difficult time. So people are realizing that they cannot save themselves. And they realize that the ruling party in Zimbabwe is never going to save them. So now the only hope is in Jesus. And so the fruit for the kingdom is huge. We've been able to start 17 churches in a year with 2 weekly Bible studies. We've got a group of our employees. Several of them are trained pastors. Some of them are teachers in our school. They go out with a whole herd of our teenagers, our older kids, and they go out and they're doing this evangelism. And I love the reaction with the community with our kids. They said, these kids are orphans from Eden? I mean, of course, the perception is orphans are worthless people. They said, these kids are like trained pastors. They handle the word of God very well. They know what they're talking about. These guys are doing a great job. These are orphans from Eden. And of course, we're sitting back smiling, saying, well, of course they are. They're well raised. They've had a good upbringing in the Lord. But the fruit is coming. And so we had more than 150 people in the last year that have come to the Lord. Our baptisms are a little more exciting than yours, and that sounds really ugly, but often we have to have two guys in the water with poles to push the crocodiles away so we can finish. So we always joke, you know, if you really want to see who's serious, put a crocodile in your baptistry and see what happens. But tremendous fruit out of this. Elijah and Sadrzai are both Eden kids who grew up there. Saru came when she was very little, Elijah a little older, but they fell in love and they're married. They got married on July 13th, one of the most fun weddings I've ever been to. Shona weddings take anywhere from 6 to 9 hours for the ceremony, and then you got the reception afterwards, which might go another 10 hours. So it's an all-day event. But these kids have done such a super job of honoring Jesus through the whole thing. And Elijah is a trained evangelist. Saru is a nurse, and she's getting her herbal practitioner certification. It's a regulated industry. Herbal medicine is in Zimbabwe. And we're sending them off. There will be our first missionary couple. We're sending them off to Hurungwe, which is about 150 miles from us. And it's a fantastic opportunity. This is where Elijah's extended family lives. And he's the only orphan who's ever told us, you know, I'm so grateful I became an orphan because I met Jesus in becoming an orphan. Nobody in my family knows about Jesus. So we've built them a house, dug a well. They have a little tuck shop there. They'll be moving there, I think, this next week. They have a tuck shop, like a little grocery store, to sell things to people in the area that they need. They'll be the source of drinking water for everyone around them. They have a medical clinic for anybody who's sick. And they're just going to be drawing people from all over the place, and they're going to share Jesus with them. And so we're very excited about these kids. They're absolutely awesome, and we just love them. They're some of our favorite children. Shouldn't have favorites. I'm turning into Lena Vivian. Leo and Sungai Gavayo are at Eden right now. They're actually living in our house while we're stateside. Leo is a chartered accountant, which is the equivalent of a CPA in this country, and has done financial projects all over the world, consulting, brilliant accountant. But the Lord told him he needed to become an evangelist. And Leo is all passion, and I love being around him because he's like a breath of fresh air. But Leo was in his home in Harare, in the capital city, and the Lord told him, go to this church 2 blocks down the street. And he said, well, Lord, I have never been to that church, but I'll go. And so they went to the church, and towards the end of the service, they had an altar call, and the Holy Spirit told them, go forward. And Leo said, Lord, I have a really sweet relationship with you. I don't need to go forward. And he said, go forward. And so he went forward. And, of course, a number of people went forward. And in the midst of all these people coming forward, the pastor made a beeline for Leo and said, you have a calling on your life, and there's something holding you back. What is it? And he said, well, I've got the ministry in Doma with Eden. I want to do evangelism, but they don't have housing for me. And so he said, we're going to meet with the elders after the service. You come to that meeting. And in that meeting, they decided they were going to build his house, and they raised $50,000 in 3 weeks. And for an African congregation on limited income, that is fabulous. It's an amazing thing. So Leo's taken off like a rocket. He's doing a great job. Sungai has nurses training, and she is a licensed midwife, and so she'll be a tremendous addition to our Eden family. Next slide. Clayton and Holly Womack are Virginia kids from the Shenandoah Valley, and they should be coming in the next 4 weeks. The comment we always hear about Clayton is, I've never met anybody who was that much like Jesus, and so I'm looking forward to having him as my next-door neighbor. But Clayton will be heading up online education for the kids. We got about half a dozen right now who want to do ministry, but we've started a program called Straight Paths that will teach them a vocation. That's their cash flow while they're getting their education. They'll get their online university degree, and that's a miracle all by itself because we joked for years. We live 65 miles out in the bush. We always joked, you know, wouldn't it be nice if someone was crazy enough to run fiber optic internet out where we live? And last year, lo and behold, Tel1 did it. They ran 69 miles of cable on poles. They didn't bury it, but we've got 8 megabytes per second. at half the cost of what we had with satellites. So we've got the opportunity to do online degree programs, and so Clayton will head that up. The study center, the Engedi Study Center, I think maybe the next slide. Let's go into the next slide. Yeah, the Engedi Study Center will be basically a 35 by 35 foot study room, library above, and two bedroom apartments around it that will allow these kids to move on to their ministries. And we want them to be able to minister to the poorest of the poor without being a financial burden on them. So their vocation is an important part of, you know, some of them are keeping rabbits, some of them are keeping chickens, you know, it's there's cash flow there that works quite well. Our Early Childhood Development Center, the first phase opened this last year in January, and we've been able to take in kids from the community whose families are not Christian. And it's the greatest thing in the world, because most of our curriculum for the preschoolers is accelerated Christian education homeschool curriculum. So they're, when they learn sentences, it's sentences from the Bible. You know, when they're learning English, it's an awesome thing. It's all biblical. And so we start them as three-year-olds in play school, then preschool, then kindergarten. By the end of the third year, they're completely fluent in English, and everybody wants their kids fluent in English because that's the ticket to a better job, you know, long term. And the Ministry of Education can't figure out how we do it, because our five-year-olds carry on conversations in English far better than high school seniors at the local government school. So we're very pleased about that. We've got another building that we'll build at some point in the near future, so the full program is ready. We've had friends that started Keegan House Orphanage on Toby Hill Farm in Chinoy, which is 75 miles due south of where we are. Robin Hillary McKenzie started this thing about the time we started Eden 20 years ago, and it's a dormitory, a capacity of 24. They have 20 boys placed there, but Rob and Hillary have had some major health issues in their lives that have made it impossible for them to live in Zimbabwe, and so they're in the United Kingdom getting treatment. They've asked us to take over, and so it's a lot of negotiating, but the beauty of this property is that it's on a major highway just outside a city of 70,000. There's a number of very well-built buildings that are very amenable to vocational education. So what we see long-term is this will be a great place for a vocational school along with the orphan component. So we're very excited about it. And in the negotiations with, you know, a board in United Kingdom, a board in Indiana, a board, you know, board of governors in Zimbabwe, two boards of governors in Zimbabwe. And so it's a lot of negotiating, but it's coming. It's coming together. Next slide. You need to know that part of your legacy is that we treat 8,300 people at our medical clinic every year at no charge. We've become a regional healthcare facility for the poorest people in our region. And the goodwill it creates is amazing, but it also helps us find children at risk in the community that need our intervention. And you're right in the middle of that, and you should feel good about that. Some of those patients are at the Gravelot Farm, 20 miles farther out. There's more than 300 families that have no access to health care, but they also drink surface water that's absolutely crawling with stuff. And if I showed you pictures, you would be horrified, but we have to worm everybody every month when we go. So we go through 5 gallons of albendazole every time we go, because everyone has to be treated for stomach parasites, because it's very serious infection. And the water table has dropped enough there that they're now drinking water out of the riverbed where the elephants and the buffalo and everything else is drinking. So that's the only water that's left in that location. So that's a little hair-raising. But Eden Christian Academy is also part of your legacy. We have 128 students. You know, we had 105 children in placement, so that's, you know, 25 or so that are from the community. And that impact is going to be bigger and bigger as time goes on. And we finally got land to build a proper school, so it's all good, and that's part of your legacy. Eden Children's Village has the residential care for AIDS orphans, and never underestimate, you know, you think, okay, it's a safe place to grow up, it's a Christian family. I never underestimate the value of that. I grew up in what's called a tricky family. We looked absolutely fine from the outside, but what went on in the home, you know, the most dangerous place on earth I could be as a child was in my own home, because my father could lose his temper and want to kill us all, and he would just totally lose it and couldn't get control, and we went through this 2 or 3 times a week. And in Dad's defense, he was a complex PTSD kid himself, so it was a generational thing. But never underestimate the power of just a stable family for a child who has nobody. And that's part of your legacy as well. Now, Eden Farm is feeding 800 people every day. By the time we feed our orphans, our staff, and their families, it's 800 people. And food security has been a huge issue in Zimbabwe for most of the years we've been there. With land reform program that started in 2000, the farms were forcibly taken from the white farmers and handed off to people as political favors, and so agricultural production went to almost zero and stayed there for a long time. It's coming back, but very, very slowly. So if we can't produce our own food, we don't have any way to do our ministries. We have to be able to produce our own food. And so we have the grains, we have beef and dairy cattle, meat and dairy goats. This one's screaming for help, you can see. Save me from the pepperoni man. But we have broiler chickens, broiler rabbits, you know, 400 eggs every day. And it's still horrifying to me that we eat 294,000 eggs in a year. Yeah, go to Kroger's and ask for that. Watch. But the food security is huge. And one of the things we do, we feed starving families when they come to our medical clinic. And a lot of times that involves giving starving babies goat's milk if we can, baby formula sometimes. They actually do better on the goat milk. But stabilizing those families, giving them seeds to grow a postage stamp garden, you know, right near their hut, use their gray water to water it. You know, we teach them how to get back on their feet a bit. But it's, you know, it's tough business. You know, it's difficult because part of the quotient when these families are starving is we have an HIV/AIDS infection rate of still about 85-86%. And so most of the people around us have HIV. And so, yeah, we don't live in Disney World. Your legacy in Zimbabwe is significant. I don't want you to ever think that what you have participated in is minimized in any way. Thousands, literally thousands of people are impacted for Jesus because you guys are faithful. And the truth is, we could never be doing this, all these things we're doing, without a very faithful base stateside helping us make it happen. And it's an important thing. Susan, you want to come up?
I just wanted to say thank you to the church for all the support that you give, even, but also to the child sponsors. We have a child sponsorship program that's very similar to what other organizations do. It's $30 a month. A few things that are different about ours. Number one is you can pick your child if you want to. We actually have a notebook out here that show the children that need sponsors now. Some people find that very difficult because all of their stories will break your heart. But sometimes the name or the birth date or something about their situation really speaks to a person, and they, you know, they like picking the child. So that is a possibility. You can also sign up through our website using PayPal. If you're interested in child sponsorship, you can just pick up a brochure and you can fill this part in, mail it in either with a check, or you can indicate that you're going to do it through PayPal. If you want to set up bill pay with your bank, the bank details are here. But as a child sponsor, you also have an opportunity to communicate with your child if you would like to. We encourage people to send emails to me because I print them off and give them to the children. And then when we come back each year for our fundraising, I bring letters from all the kids and I take new pictures of all of them so that you'll see how they're growing. If the kids are old enough to write, they write their own letters. And you will see through the years how much their English improves. But if they're babies, either their house mom or the teacher at preschool will write the letter and then have the child color you a picture so that you can have something for your refrigerator. And we also make it possible for, if sponsors would like to come and meet their child, we encourage that because it's life-changing for the sponsor, but it's also life-changing for the child to actually get to meet that person that they've written to. And it's one thing to have that child's picture on your refrigerator. It's something else to sit and eat a meal with them or read them a story, you know, really get to know them. When we have containers that are shipped to us, I let sponsors know so that if they would like to send birthday or Christmas gifts, they can. I just ask that you please put the number on that I give you because sometimes when our containers get to us, customs have just made a total mess of it. And the only way I know what was sent for each child is by that sticker. And I record it all and make sure that the right child gets the clothes and things that were sent to them. And that's very, very important to me. And to most of the child sponsors, that's a big deal. So if you're interested in that, I'd be glad to talk to you more back at the at our display. Also, you're welcome to pick up one of our brochures that just tells more about the ministry and how in the world we ended up in Zimbabwe. But thank you for letting us come today.
Yep, we've been there long enough. Sometimes we wonder how we got there. When I'm reading in the Greek New Testament, I love the Koine Greek because it's an ultra-specific language, and it's very mechanical. You add prefixes, suffixes, you just zero in on the meaning. And I love Greek for that reason, but I also love Hebrew because Hebrew is like a treasure chest because it's layers and layers and layers, almost like an onion, layers of meaning, and I just love it for that reason. You know, when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray something like this. When the Lord gave the Hebrews the Aaronic blessing, he said, say these exact words. And in English, we lose a little bit. It's the Lord let's try that again. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that sounds nice, but there's a whole lot more to it than that. And so I want to read that to you because I don't remember everything anymore. But this is our blessing on this congregation for blessing us. This is how we want to bless you. May Yahweh kneel before you presenting gifts, the blessings you need for your walk with him. Yahweh keep you protected, safe and sound with a hedge of protection, literally thorns, and the blessings he has imparted on you. Yahweh make his face, his presence, shine his light, his illumination, and brightness on you as you dwell in the presence of God, as you abide in and obey his word. And may Yahweh bend down to show you kindness, grace, favor, and pity. Yahweh turn his face and countenance, his presence towards you as he smiles upon you and shows you kindness, comfort, confidence, approval, and ultimately peace. And may Yahweh put in place, gift you, and compassionately extend shalom, completeness, soundness, prosperity, tranquility, contentment, peace, friendship, supernatural health, welfare, safety, perfection, rest and harmony on your life. God bless you for helping us. We appreciate it. Famba na Jesu, shamwere wedu. Walk with Jesus, my friends.